everybody. Welcome back to another of the Paranormal Guide podcast. This is podcast 007, and this time coming to you live from Surbiston. Now, before I get into this, I've got to do a quick shout-out for the Ghost of Oz crew, Appy, the Cthulhu Powerhouse Ghost Tour hosts, Kerry Wearing of Paracon Australia, and Amanda Maloney of WAPA, Western Australia Paranormal Researchers, and of course Brad Scott of Naked Zombie Radio. We all shared a weekend together recently out in Sydney and helped record Ghost of Oz final show for their first season. So there you go, quick shout out. Hope you appreciated it.
Thank you very much, guys, for looking after our leader here.
There you go, spent a weekend in Sydney and it was fantastic. You can read all about that on the Facebook page. So, today, Surbiston. We've been here for a good, I don't know, 5 or 6 hours investigating this fantastic relic of South Australian Victoria's past. The co-hosts are a bit different this time. So I've got Paul, everyone knows
How
Paul.
How you going, everyone?
I'm also joined by two investigators from another team. Fluoro Paranormal Research from all the way out in Victor Harbour, which is a bit south of Adelaide for those playing at home. We have got the team's leader and founder, Lynn Mallett.
Hi, how are you?
And her newest investigator, Wes. Is there a surname?
Just go with Wes. Wes is good.
Just go with Wes.
Just Wes.
Wes, and just first of all, before we get into this, I find Lynn's series of surnames to be hilarious.
Seriously?
You were a Batten. And then you're a mallet.
Yeah. I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think life is just trying to teach me something. My first married name was Batten, and then I divorced him and I married a mallet. I mean, what more can I say?
There you go. And guys, if you want to know a bit more about Lynn and her time investigating, there is an older interview with her, and she talks about lots of things, including a time slip. But Wes, we need to know a little bit about you. It's easy enough to go find stuff about Lynn. You, okay. Investigating, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I'm not from Victor Harbour. I'm from Old Ranella.
So oh, jeez.
It's a little bit out of the way.
It's almost in the Fleurieu.
Nearly.
Almost.
Nearly.
Close enough.
newest member, as you just said, and I've also got the other investigator with me. He's currently sitting on the floor beside me, Oscar. He's a dog, border collie. What can we say about him? Well, what can he say about himself? Oscar, do you want to say anything to anyone?
Whoop!
Very funny.
Well, I've known you for a little while.
You've known me for a little while. Yeah, yeah. I've seen you on a few...
Oscar's your tech guy, isn't he?
He's my tech guy.
Yeah. He is. And he's a great tech guy. He really is. He's terrific. Yeah. And he's very cuddly.
He is. He's
he doesn't mind cuddles.
That's what most of the team says about me too.
Yeah.
not my team. As well.
Yeah, I've known you for a while. Been a couple of years maybe now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years probably.
Yeah, but we've never really been on an investigation before.
No, not until Gladstone.
Yeah, that's right.
And then this will be the second one.
This will be the second one.
Excellent.
Start of many more.
Well, let's hope so, shall we? Unless we have a big falling out somewhere along the line. Those tend to happen.
They do. Apparently.
I didn't sign a word.
All right, yeah. We'll all keep it internalised.
Internal.
So, well, here we are at Surbiston. So, I'm going to throw it to Lynn, just because she's got the pamphlet in front of her. Tell us a little bit about this railway station. Actually, before we... No, tell us about the railway station. That
Well, there's really not a great deal to tell. It was completed in 1889.
Near border town, if anyone needs
to know. Near border town. It's just over in the Victorian border. However, there was a dispute whether or not it was South Australia or Victoria. That dispute was settled in 1914 in Victoria's favour. So... Yes, it's in Victoria.
Bullshit, just like the Grand Prix or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean,
flogging our stuff.
In its heyday, it was Surbiston was a really busy township. They had everything here to support pretty much the railway station. The railway station itself had like a fully functioning bar where people would just come and drink, not necessarily to get on a train, but just drink.
When you say people, you mean men. In the Surbiston bar.
Yeah, although
it was a male-only bar.
It was a male-only bar, but they did have a section there for the women where they could, you know, be served, I suppose, cups of tea, not alcohol. Yay. I'm glad I'm here in 2012 and not back then because, seriously, after investigating with you guys, God knows I need a drink.
Sure.
But anyway, so, yeah, I mean, really... That's about all I can tell you about the history, because Ashley shoved this in my face 5 minutes before the podcast and said, here, read this and tell us all about it.
Is there something on there about the train wreck?
Ooh, actually, we're going to talk about the train wreck after our first break. This is a little bit about the history, and we'll get into that. But there you go. Well, it is, but this is kind of like the macabre history. So this will keep our listeners hooked in for a bit later. Mm-hmm. Now, so there you go. So essentially, it's a very large train station. We're talking two stories. We've got 32 cellars.
32 rooms, 28 fireplaces, apparently, or something
28?
Like yes.
Good
God. I reckon I've seen 27.
It's because you haven't been to the morgue yet.
Okay. Yeah, there's a morgue. And what else is there? There are cells.
There are prison cells. What are the cells? Yes.
Paul will fill us in here.
Okay, so as we know, this was... the reason this train station exists, first of all, is because Victoria and South Australia had two different gauges of train tracks. So they built this in between. Now, when they were transporting prisoners of World War One, World War Two through this train station, during the World War One exchange, I believe they had to get the prisoners off the train for about 3 to 4 hours while they unloaded each of the trains. So they had to unload the train here, reload it onto a South Australian train if it was coming from Victoria, and they'd put the prisoners downstairs in the little barracks. They had shackles on the wall. They'd attach them for up to 3-4 hours there. That's about it.
Side by side, no doors.
Yeah,
they had windows. You can see the person standing beside you.
And a nice big vent at their lower back.
Yes. Mm. Yes, that southerly cool breeze would be terrible.
So not fantastic. So besides that, there's also the morgue. So obviously body transport. Been taken.
It was only a makeshift. It was more like a store than a morgue, but they'd have bodies stored there while the train was being loaded.
Yep. Mm. There you go. And I guess so. That's a little bit about the location itself. Besides that, we got a we're actually located right now in the head cook's bedroom. And this is right at the top, and this is we'll get into that a little bit later. But this is probably the freakiest area of the. Of the station. I believe we've had some activity here, and we'll talk about that a little bit after. But why are we investigating here? How did that come about? And I guess I heard about it first from Paul, so we'll get Paul to talk about it, but Flurio comes into it quite early as well.
Yep. I was on a family holiday out to Hall's Gap.
Yep.
I was searching the internet, and I found this place was on the way, so I thought I'd come and have a look. It was called a museum. Online, and it was an amazing place. Plus, there was a little bit of history, a little bit of mayhem. There was a lot of South Australian Victorian rivalry here, even before the Crows and Port Power and Collingwood and that were even known about. So,
mayhem.
There was. They hated each other. They worked together during the day, and come evening, they went to their separate sides of the town and all sorts. So they didn't get along at all.
Okay, and so you found a place inside. This would be fantastic to investigate.
Yes.
And you looked into it a little bit and got messed around by the council and all sorts of stuff.
Well, it was a shire, they call it here, because it's under the Victorian councils, which are called shires in the country.
And then when we're out doing a haunted, I guess, manor or mansion, probably in March, April this year... We talked about it, and Lynn heard us talking about Surbiton.
Yes. Well, not long after Flurio formed, one of my team members back then, like during the conversation of, you know, places we could investigate, he came up with Surbiton. He knew about it because he apparently had family here many years ago and said there was this big old train station which was probably abandoned by now, and it would... you know, just be a great big old building to investigate. But we didn't do anything about it at the time, mainly because of the distance. We were only a very small team, still starting out, so we just let it go. And then when I overheard Paul talking about it, that's when I jumped in and said to you guys, well, hey, you know, we were thinking of doing that, and we were, you know, sort of gearing up, at, you know, someday in the future to do it, so why don't we join forces and just get up there?
I've never heard of this place.
Awesome. It's just a big old bonus for you.
Yeah, well, we just got told, by the way, you're coming to service.
And you've got a lot of friends just down the road here.
Yeah, Worsley, next town over. So, and yeah.
That's
I'm nearly a local, I reckon.
Bloody hell. And what is, this is the biggest rural train station anyway?
Probably. It would have to be. It's well, huge. Like it said, is. Well, just the amount of work that come through here was massive. Like, you know, switching them over. This is a lot bigger than Gladstone, I reckon. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
And just getting here is a bit of a journey as well. Paul had rang. You guys probably made inquiries as well. I'm looking at Lynn here. This isn't TV, but Lynn.
No, actually, we didn't. We left it all up to Paul.
Okay, so Paul made a lot of inquiries, and you know, he went through the catering services, he went through the Shire,
yes.
And he just couldn't get in. So we decided, bugger it, let's all of us. That's the Paranormal Guide, Fleer of Paranormal Research. Jump in a car. Let's drive 5 hours into Victoria.
Yep.
And just rock up and say, hey, look, and see someone that's local and see if they'll let us in. And, well, they did.
So what was the trouble you had with the council?
They're just not interested. Didn't give rat's ass.
I don't even think they know we're here.
No.
But the caretaker let us in, so we're good. Yeah. So we did that, did the legged up here, and he said, yep, why not?
And we decided to come back on the anniversary of
a major event. We're going to talk about that in about a minute's time after a quick message from our sponsors.
Introducing Go Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. GoShack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, melmeters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. GoShack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at goshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Welcome back, everybody. So we talked a little bit before about a tragedy that's happened here. So, let's try this.
It's Lynn's first time. Leave her alone. It's not a tragedy.
Wes! By the way, look, can I take this opportunity to announce that Wes will be leaving the team?
Nice.
Immediately.
I like it.
Yeah. I'll keep Oscar, but Wes can go.
Oh, custody battle coming up. Wes in the deep end. Wes, why are we here on this particular day?
I have no idea. Where are we?
We are here on a Thursday night, by the way, everyone. It's just kind of an odd night for investigating, especially for people that have full-time jobs.
Exactly. So I had to take 2 days off work for this.
There you go. But there's got to have been a good reason why we're here. Obviously, no. But the audience doesn't. Who wants to fill them in? Wes obviously doesn't have much of a clue.
I will.
All right.
Okay. At 2:55 a.m., September 7th, 1951, there was a head-on train crash just, what would you call that, south, I suppose, of Surbiton Railway Station. There were 600 people in the trains at the time, and one of the engine drivers, I believe, was killed, crushed underneath one of the engines. He was only a young fella. Now, some reports I've read say he was 22, others say he was 24. So his actual age, not too sure. He was a fellow by the name of Keith Hoskins. And apparently his body was pinned underneath the engine for 13 and a half hours before they could get him out. So we have chosen to be here at 2:55 a.m., 7th of September, 2012, right on the anniversary of the crash, to see if Keith will maybe come and give us a message of some sort. Tell us how pissed off he is at being killed so young.
Well, seeing I don't know anything about this place, has there been reports of any sightings or hauntings here?
That's what I found online. There was a couple of little stories of creaks and bangs, and I'm not exactly sure. I've never been able to find the story again. But there were a few little signs. No one's actually investigated it. It was someone who was doing a short documentary or a story of museums or old museums around the rural country areas.
Well, I mean, the caretaker has got his own stories.
Yes.
Of, you know, seeing shadows and particularly getting a lot of feelings. in this room that we're sitting in now, on the stairs just outside the door there.
You've seen an apparition in the kitchen area.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And also downstairs, around the bathroom downstairs and those lower rooms. So, I mean, tonight, the investigation so far, we've had some interesting stuff. I believe you guys have as well. Yep. We've got quite a few good reactions off Oscar. He, in this room, he showed some particular interest in the window at one stage, and that was shortly after I heard a woman talking. And then next minute, Oscar's ears went up and he sort of shot up and went towards the direction where I'd heard the talking from. So that was one incident. We've had...
Night's still young, man.
It is. We're only very early.
We're about 2.5 hours away from this actual anniversary. And
yep.
600 people on the two trains. These are steam locomotive-driven trains. And when you look at the pictures, you can see one train's pretty much toppled on its side. Both the engines are complete write-offs.
They are.
And only one person killed. And
there was over 100 people injured, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been fantastic. It said they woke up to the success in the middle of the night, woke up to the sound of a bomb going off, basically, when these two things crashed, and only the one person died.
And if people probably don't know that, there's still trains going past to this day. So we were standing out on the platform earlier and just hearing those trains go past.
Oh, they tear past.
Yeah, they don't stop here anymore, of course. But,
that's right. With the night watchman on the train, he said he blew the whistle because he could see the other train and no one stopped, so whatever the drivers were doing not to notice each other.
Yeah.
They said that they didn't.
I think one was stationary and empty.
Ah.
And
if there was two going at the same time, you wouldn't survive. You couldn't survive.
No. One was stationary and the other one failed to stop at a signal. He was given the signal to stop and he didn't. Kept going. I believe one of the engine drivers jumped free. The other one didn't get out in time. He was the one who died.
Yeah, he ghosted the train into the other one. Bloody hell.
So, it was... I mean, downstairs there's photographs on the newspaper clippings, which are quite spectacular.
Yep.
Yeah, they're both an absolute wreck. There's a lot of wreckage. So we'll be out there at 2:55 a.m.
And no, there isn't any... ruins out there.
No, the train's cleaned up.
Yeah.
What I found, this wreck was so spectacular that one of the newspapers actually chartered an Ansett plane to fly over so they could get the photos.
Yeah.
You know, the damage was that widespread they couldn't get it just from nice ground shots. And as for this gentleman that died, like Lynn said, most of the papers report him as 22. He was single, but he was the sole breadwinner for his family. So him dying, you know, his mother and his sister, you know, were not going to be so fantastically well off financially after that as well.
No.
Yeah.
So there's...
And you've got to think about the people who were injured. I mean, how many of those died later on from their injuries? How bad were the injuries? I mean, we're talking limbs missing and... You know, big chunks taken out of them and permanent disability, we don't know. And
plus all the trauma, people waiting for the train at the other end.
Yeah.
They'd still be waiting.
Well, they would, wouldn't they?
Oh.
But I mean, when you think of...
the tragedy. Yeah. The train's like, damn it.
They're like, you know, damn, my gloves are soiled. but when you think of the energy that is left behind by that sort of trauma, then, you know, we may well get something on the actual tracks itself. And we just got to be careful, though, that we don't end up being splattered.
That's right.
Because there still are, like Paul said, there's still trains going past all the time. We've had three go past tonight since we've been here, and, yeah, they're quite noisy.
They are.
And fast.
Incredibly noisy. The entire place rattles.
It does.
You've got a shake under your feet.
Yeah. Now, is there anything anyone else wants to add about the crash?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Aren't you guys going to tell us what you've had tonight so far?
We will. We've got to build it up. This is good. This is how we roll here. This is how we roll. We just hope for the best.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or Why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
So Ron seems to have, I don't know, he seems to be able to, I don't know if he's not channeling, but he seems to be able to pick up what's happening here, and he seems to have a feeling of what's going on. Like, we've been up here tonight in this room, and he's been there and telling us there's someone over in that corner. Now, either Ron's crazy,
or he can't see the mannequin in the corner.
No, he knows there's a mannequin there, I'm sure of it. Or, you know, something's going on here. So what do you think, why do you think Ron can pick up these things? Let's just, for argument's sake, say it's all legit, okay? Let's not just think he's trying to bullshit us or anything. So that'd be rude. Why do you think he has kind of a connection? Do you think it's just because he's the caretaker, or do you think there could be something more?
Not sure.
Could be that he's crazy.
It could possibly be his connection to the whole place. I mean, he's been living here for a while. He's looking after the place. He's trying to save it.
His mum used to run it.
Yeah, and they're trying to repair it. Mm.
Oh, so he was here for the 6 years and his mother had it before that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and she got sick. So maybe there's some sort of connection there.
Okay.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, whatever is here probably feels very grateful to him.
He's done all this.
What he's doing and, you know, in keeping it here and keeping their space.
Mm. I mean, this place is only a gold coin donation to come and visit. So, if you come during the day, of course, just give him a gold coin and he'll take you through, give you a half an hour tour, and it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Otherwise, this place would rot away. But like Lynn was saying, that whatever's here is grateful. But when you see him and when he's kind of feeling it, it doesn't look like whatever it is grateful. It looks like it's kind of, you know, he just stands there and he's very quiet. Or, you know, trying to cut the stairs right behind where we're sitting right now, you know, he kind of feels a resistance to coming up. That just doesn't feel grateful to me for some reason.
Why don't you tell him the rest of the story about him coming up the stairs?
Well, yeah, Ashley.
All right. He scared the crap out of me. I went out there. I could hear noises. I've left the room. I've gone down. I'm kind of watching the camera and looking down the stairs, following the stairs down. And there's this shadow looking up at me at the bottom of the stairs and kind of made me jump a little. But that's the way it is.
Didn't know adrenaline was brown.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. So have you guys experienced any of the stuff that Ron's experienced so far? Like, Lynn, the very first time you were here, when we just come out here to scope it out.
Yes.
We'll start off there. What happened on that first trip?
Well, that first trip, I ended up sort of on my own with Ron wandering around, particularly downstairs. And then Ron was telling me, look, I'm feeling something like in this area and I believe it's here. And at one stage, I had the video camera going and we were at the base of the stairs and he said to me, just keep your camera here for a minute because I think it's here with me right now. And so I thought, yeah, okay, no worries. So I'm just standing there. And with that, the doorway between the main area and the stairwell just opened gradually. And I thought, okay, breeze. So we checked around for a breeze, and okay, there was another doorway and a window with panes missing where, yes, there could have been a breeze coming through. But as Ron pointed out, and I tend to agree with him, if it was a breeze coming through there, then that door would have shut first and then the second door, the main door, but it didn't. The other door didn't move, the main door did. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to try and communicate with whatever is here.
Is this daytime, and night time?
This was during the day. Okay. This was during
sunset-ish.
It was afternoon, late afternoon. And with Ron standing there with me, I said, okay, if there is somebody here, can you open that door? And the door opened. Okay. Can you close it? And the door closed. Now, I asked that same question, I think it was four times, got a response four times, but I timed it differently. Like, I didn't ask in a regular sort of amount of time, like not 15 seconds, bang, bang, bang. It was like I'd wait almost a minute and then say, can you close it? And the door would close. I'd wait 20 seconds, can you open it? And the door would open.
Sounds like the hokey pokey.
Well, yeah, it was almost like that. And honestly, the poor spirit was probably thinking, oh, God, woman, just believe, will you, instead of going through all this bullshit. But it was just interesting that I seemed to be getting a direct response.
Have you tried that again today?
Not yet, no. I would like to, though.
Okay.
I would like to.
And that's pretty much all that happened, the first thing?
Well, apart from I have got a photograph that I took in the cellar part of sort of a misty substance. Very hard to tell. It's very vague. So I really can't say whether that was just, you know, just mist or what.
When the doors were opening and closing, what was the caretaker's response?
He was absolutely dead silent.
Okay. So he wasn't surprised or...
No.
Well, he says that happens all the time for him, so, you know.
He said that light's come on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he just stood stock still next to me. He didn't say anything. He was just like standing there. And the interesting thing was during that whole thing, the other door to the downstairs toilet, that did not move at all. And neither did any of the other doors in the immediate vicinity that were unlatched. And the trap door to the cellar was closed as well. So we knew it wasn't that coming up.
Cut to tonight. Where we are tonight, Wes, I'm going to go to you next. Have you experienced anything yet during the two lots of investigations so far?
Here tonight?
Yes. Like, well, I want to ask you, I'm seeing balloons all over the place.
Well, that's just...
This is something I haven't seen before. I understand what it is, and it's a good idea. What's going on there?
Well, everyone has their own thing. They have cameras and taking photos and getting video cameras and hoping to get something on there, and I just want to try my own thing and have some sort of idea. So just having silly ideas here and there, and I thought I'll try one tonight. All I've done is got some fishing line and tied it to a blown-up balloon and take that to the ceiling and just have a video camera on it. Hopefully it moves or bounces or... Yeah.
So maybe if something moves through there.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it doesn't take much to move them.
No, not at all. Your breath will move a balloon. So we've put up a couple around the place and we've seen it move a few times, but whether that's just us moving around in the room.
Yeah.
But
that's the problem. So what you're hoping for is something really sudden and quite dramatic.
Mm.
The balloon's moving apart. Very so obvious. You've generally got them in walkways.
Yeah, that's
essentially.
Right.
And they're probably about shoulder height. I'd say probably shoulder height.
So if you had a large walkway, I was thinking you could either put about six of them all along in a line. So if something that goes through and the two middle ones move, that would be obvious then if they all move at the same time.
You should try maybe having them a bit lower. Apparently most apparitions that are seen are only about 3 foot tall.
Really?
Yeah, that's
three foot tall. Ooh, well, that gives me creeps. Dogs or bloody kids? Paul.
Mr. Booth told me that.
Mr. Booth, Christopher St. Booth told you that. 3 foot tall entities.
Yes.
We're coming to you, Paul. What's been happening tonight?
For me, I'm feeling really comfortable, actually, in most of the places. We had a bit of an experience up here in the bedroom of the head chef. I was asked by the ovulist to lie down next to it. That was one thing, which was quite interesting. It did say my name. It said it a couple of times.
And it said
lay. That's funny, we got that too on the ovulus. We got the name Paul.
Yes.
About three times.
Well, then we also had the word mummy. And that, whenever you're asking questions, the word mummy comes up, it gives me the creeps a little bit because we seem to have, depending on what you believe, mummy seems to come up a lot in the ovulus when you're asking stuff.
Yeah, it does. And because my mother's recently passed.
Yep.
And it does say my name just before. And it was mainly because of Gladstone. Gladstone gave us this hit quite a few times. And then again here as well. So am I being followed by a spirit of my mother, maybe?
Possibly? And in Renmark? In the morgue?
Did it say it?
Yeah, well, it seemed to be a message for you,
I
according
think,
to the medium
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
That was
the
dog's chasing.
That was Oscar. Oscar let himself be known. So that's basically what's been happening up here for you. But I've had other experiences. Well, you've heard them too. When we were down in the cellars, two female screams. Well, that's what it sounded like.
One come through the ghost box.
Yep.
And the other came through in just...
Yeah, our ears.
Yeah, our ears, yeah. We heard it.
Very similar? I reckon they were fairly similar.
Very similar in tone.
Is that female or male?
Female.
And coincidences aside, I've never heard that before. I've never heard the same thing come from a ghost box, then followed by something in your ear.
Yeah.
Something that you can hear.
In real life.
Yeah.
So that was quite interesting. And up here as well, we heard a deep breath.
Yeah. What was that about?
I don't know. And we thought someone was coming up the stairs. Well, you especially. You even said you saw a light.
We thought it was all of you guys coming up the stairs. You guys had been in the cellars downstairs. Mm. I thought it was all of you coming upstairs. No one arrived. And then after that, probably about 5-10 minutes after that, I heard someone coming up the stairs about four or five steps at a time, and they would pause. Then another 4 or 5 steps, they would pause. Another 4 or 5 steps and pause. Now, I automatically assumed it was Ron. Because... every time we've come up here, Ron's stopped at the top stairs. He always feels a bit of resistance coming into this room for some reason. And I just assumed it was Ron. He was having trouble coming in again. I've walked to the door.
Well, you've got to say that we're in two teams.
We've split up.
Yeah, we're communicating while walking.
Yeah, so these guys are down in the cellars. We're, you know, two floors above them, essentially. And so I've gone stealthily to the door, shone a torch out. There's absolutely no one there. I know I heard someone come up those stairs. It's distinctive. And there's no one there, and you know that's a little bit disconcerting. But it's kind of what we are looking for while we're doing this stuff.
That's why we're here.
That was a bit freaky. So we radioed straight downstairs, and Ron was with you guys.
Yeah.
And at that time as well, we did have something. I remember.
Did you?
Yeah. Each of us had a video camera down there, and. Simon's with us, which is Lynn's other half, and he got a cold sensation in his hand, and then the battery went flat in the video camera, then Lynn's went flat, then mine went flat.
It was all within a minute of each other, pretty much, wasn't it?
Yep.
All three cameras just went flat.
Are they different makes and models of cameras?
Two of them are the same. One was totally different.
Okay, yep. So you'd expect different power consumption. So, you know, if that was the same make and model of camera, they had the same charge. Expect them around the same time to go dead, perhaps.
Well, me and Wes are using the same camera.
There you go.
And the same batteries.
You've got a bloody 6-hour battery in yours, Wes.
My battery's still got 3 hours charge on it. And Wes's went flat.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
And mine was on half when I went in there. And I watched it. It just went... And then went all red, and that was it. Stud shut down on me.
The same thing happened to us at Gladstone, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
That was quite freaky. We walked into the room.
Battery would go down, but when Wes left the room, the battery level would go back up again.
So we've done that over
battery and levels don't just increase again, do they?
No. I know. That was really freaky.
Three cameras doing it. It's a bit crazy.
Mm. Altogether like that, it was freaky, and that was just after they radioed down, wasn't it?
Right.
And asked if Ron was with us,
Wow. And then Ron left you and come up here.
Yeah.
So obviously some interesting things have been taking place. Obviously, we can't call them paranormal because you can't prove.
But
it's interesting nonetheless. Stuff that really shouldn't be taking place. So it's a little bit abnormal, not paranormal.
Yeah.
That's abnormal. Made that difference.
Which I'm comfortable with abnormal.
I know you're comfortable with it.
Oh yes.
So anyone want to add anything else about stuff that's happened tonight before we move on to a break and then the listener's question?
Wes is a great cook, and I have to thank him for dinner tonight.
He did an awesome job of cooking.
Not a problem. The snags and the chops.
Mm. Cleaning the cook plate.
And smoking out the kitchen.
Bringing the fridge.
I'm surprised we didn't have the Victorian CFS here tonight.
There you go, everybody. Wes is a good cook.
He is.
He has a fantastic dog. We're going to... we're going to go take another quick break and we'll come back with the listener's question, which was asked by Lynn's husband, funnily enough. Why are you laughing?
Because he never usually thinks of questions.
No.
part of a paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
We're back. Liz's question before we finish off the show. This comes from Lynn's husband, Simon. We don't have to give the last name, though you can probably work it out. It's not too hard. It's something you can hit things with.
Hammer.
Yeah, hammer, close enough. And he asks, who do we think is haunting this place? Well, you know, Simon's here with us tonight. He's just a bit radio shy.
He is, yeah.
So, who do we think is haunting? And I'm going to go for Paul first this time.
Well, obviously, it could be the fireman.
Yep.
Or the
what is all that noise that's taking place out there? Have you been hearing it the whole time?
Yeah, there's a lot of banging going on. It's
pretty wind. The wind's picked up a lot.
It's okay. Yeah, it could be the wind.
Oh, it's this thing, isn't it? That yeah, thing's yeah, been rattling yeah. and banging. That's okay. Oh, false alarm. Call me a vet fielder.
One of the 28 fireplaces is rattling next to us. Obviously, Keith Hosking, the fireman from the carriage that. The train carriage that got wrecked.
Just so you know, when Paul says fireman, it's not a firefighter, it's a guy that loads the coal.
The coal dude.
Yeah.
Could also be someone possibly from a car crash out the front here from the highway. It's not very far. Right. And I believe the highway used to go a lot closer back in its day as well.
Okay. Well, this would have been a main thoroughfare as well.
Could even be haunted by one of the prisoners of war.
Yeah. That's true.
The building.
Yeah. Wes.
I like your theory with the 3-foot hobbits. I reckon it's them.
Come on. Oh, this is Isengard. Yeah, coming through.
Bring that shot not pass.
I hope to get some evidence later and find out who it is.
So you're going for hobbits, Wes?
I'm going for hobbits.
Okay. Well, Lynn, your team member's very serious about this.
Oh, look, now that's just a hard act to follow, isn't it? I mean, I can't top hobbits.
Who do you think's haunting here?
Who do I think is haunting here? Well, I think there's probably a lot of residual energy here,
mm-hmm.
possibly from the train crash.
Yep.
And just from the activity that used to go on here, because it was a very busy, very vibrant place. And now it is just, well, it's just sitting and...
I reckon the building's more alive than you think, you know? Like the walls have a story to tell.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. Mm. And I think that energy itself is just, it's here. Yeah,
in the last 5 years, this town has gone from 120-something people to 18, 19 people.
In how many years?
In 6 years.
That's incredible. That's a massive... This is almost a ghost town, then.
Yeah. It's pretty close.
And it's probably going to end up a ghost town.
The general store doesn't have much here, so... I mean,
can't even get a Playboy.
Yeah.
Well...
So,
did you get your Fuick there, though?
No, not here. I'll get it down the road. But you've got to be careful, because you can't buy fruit down on border town side, so...
Yeah. So you're going for mainly a residual...
No, I do think there is a spirit, at least one spirit here. Now, I'm not sure as yet exactly what that spirit is up to or what it is trying to prove, particularly with how it seems to be with Ron and seems to be maybe a little bit negative towards him. maybe he feels resentful that Ron is in charge here, when perhaps this spirit that is still here was whoever was in charge at some stage.
Maybe he was a station master
or something, and feels resentful towards Ron. Like you're not coming up stairs because only the station master and the head cook can go up there. You know.
I don't know. I've got questions. Such as, okay, we can assume that it's this fireman that's dead. Let's assume he's here. You know, he died bloody 20 metres up the tracks. But where's this female that we've heard screaming?
Maybe it's the head chef from this room itself. Because this is the most active room that we believe is the most active room.
That's what, and the kitchen.
And the kitchen.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Thank you for answering my question, Paul. It's fantastic.
The chef's screaming at a kitchen hands and...
Wes has been cooking in the kitchen.
No, ice cream, not the girl.
Let's leave him. We should leave him in here for an hour by himself on the bed. He'll probably fall asleep.
Probably.
Yeah, but let's see. He's been cooking. He's the head chef tonight. Let's chuck him on there.
You can tell him what's in this room with us. It's an old bed, a cast iron bed, single bed.
Pair of shoes.
And there's an old wardrobe in the corner that the dog was very interested in.
There's some old clothes.
Mm-hmm. Bedpan.
But there is a lot of stuff downstairs, old relics and...
Yeah, this place... that's the other thing. This place is full of antiques. Mm. And as we know from, say, Old Town Town, that place is probably haunted due to the fact that things are attached to a lot of things that are in there. And this place is, you know... It's got to be bits and pieces here that
someone's once whatever's haunting doing. Here may not even be connected with the railway station itself, but with something that's been brought in here.
Or the land.
I mean, the woman screaming could possibly be from the train wreck because, I mean, when you've got that much trauma condensed into one particular incident, such as a massive accident like that, I mean, you imagine the ladies of the day who were, you know, let's face it, they were all squeezed in with whalebone and got very hysterical, were always bloody fainting and all that sort of thing. Yeah, they were pussies.
I'm joking, honestly, you're like, bam.
Yeah,
no. Women were not ballsy back then like we are now.
I reckon that.
And I think we deal with trauma a lot better than what they did back then. Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with a woman from 1950s. Look at that. They're irate, no vote.
Not with those pointy bras. No, you get your eyes poked down.
Well, this is going off the rails real quick,
guys.
Oh,
pardon the pun.
Well, okay, guys, so we're going to leave it here. In about 2 hours, we're going to head out down the tracks and see if anything goes on at the site of the accident itself. So, I've got no idea what song we're leaving you with. We're hoping for Tom Waits. We heard Tom Waits did a song about this place, or is mentioned a song, so I might email him and see if we can use that song. If not, we'll just leave you the smooth sounds of a train gone past, just so you got the theme of the show into you. So, I'm Ashley Hall, signing off.
Happy hunting, everyone.
See you guys.
Come up with a better catchphrase. Quick, Wes, on the feet.
I've got nothing. I really got nothing.
That'll do. Lynn.
I'm going to go off the rails tonight myself.
Okay, guys. See you next time.
The train stopped in Silverstone less and less often. No, there's nothing sadder than a town with no cheer. Vic Grail decided the canteen was no longer necessary. No spirits, no bilge water, and 80 dry locals. And the high noon sun beats 104 as a hummingbird trapped in a closed down shoe store. This tiny Victorian rhubarb kept the watering hole open for 65 years. Now it's boiling in a miserable March 21st. Wrap the hills in a blanket of Patterson's curse. The train smokes down the xylophone. There'll be no stopping here. All you can be is thirsty in a town with no cheer. No branch water of the town's people here. Follow Vic Rail decree to their name. Oh, it's boiling in a miserable March 21st. Wrap the hills in a blanket of Patterson's curse. The train smokes down the xylophone. There'll be no stopping here. All you can be is thirsty in a town with